Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go.
been humble.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to the Red Fox Blogger with your hosts, Tim Burton and Kel Fritzy. And, oh, my God, that is... You shouldn't be tapping your feet listening to that song because it really does encompass just how disgusting the cult of Islam is. But, hey, you know what? I'm barely out of the gate, and I'm already getting ready to go into a rant, and I don't want to do that yet because I want to welcome Tim. Hi, Tim.
Good evening, Kel. I'm very pleased to hear that you're all fired up and ready to go. I knew that winding up that that clockwork key would do the trick and you'd be out of the gate like a greyhound on steroids. So, yeah, I'm, you know. In all seriousness, Kel, how are you doing tonight? Not the chicken again. The story about the chicken. Are you going to tell our listeners about the chicken?
My neighbor is raising chickens. All you can hear is them clucking all day.
Well, we have a little song to celebrate. Okay.
Tim? What?
Okay, I'm asking, I've got a message come up on my screen, and it says I'm disconnected, and I don't know why. Never mind.
Do you want to try dialing back in?
Well, no, not as long as you can still hear me, and I can still hear you. I won't bother doing anything about it right this second.
Okay.
I'm just a bit concerned, that's all.
Oh, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, please note that our preamble is usually sponsored by the Silly Factory, courtesy of the Red Fox Blogger. Fox!
Yes, we had a special song in honor of this occasion, didn't we? Which I'm sure there's a link to drop into the chat room. I only mention it because it gave me a big smile when I first heard it, and I'm gonna see if I can find it now and drop it.
I've got it right here.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Yeah, if you're feeling down, ladies and gentlemen, just play this song. It's hilarious. Well, I wouldn't play it for the listeners right now, Kel, because they'll be so busy falling about laughing and clutching their sides that they won't be in the right mood for listening to the discussion on Fox Radio.
I got to put the link in the chat room for people. This video is unbelievable. Oh, where are we? Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we do conduct a serious program here, but
yeah,
this is the second song.
This is the show. We actually a real
Well, this is what I'm listening to every day now. Chickens.
Anyway.
Okay. Enough of this tomfoolery. Let's get on with the serious issues at hand. And, of course, as you know, the Red Fox Blogger is a counter-jihadist program. And Tim and myself are... counter-jihadist, and we bring you the issues of Islam every single program. And today we are blessed to also have joining us, in fact, is Agador is going to be sitting with us today as well, and I better bring him on. Hey, Agador, bok, 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 how you doing?
I'm clucking good, Kel. How are you and Tim doing there?
I'm unbelievably well, thank you, Agador. What about you, Kel? Are you infidelity fine this evening? You missed
like an infidelity pie.
Yeah. I'm clucking great, says Kel. Excellent. Good. Glad to hear it.
I'm just clucking along.
Yeah. Oh, dear. I just no end of problems with these chickens, Agador. You just wouldn't believe it. We could not get the show off the road yesterday for chickens. The studio was full of them. There were feathers flying. It was terrible.
Well, yeah, you know, chickens crossing the road in front of you. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah. Well, they have to do that to get to the other side, of course. But you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the chickens. The chickens cross the road to find the comedian to give him a new punchline. But yeah.
It's amazing though. When I'm in the backyard, it is like they're all chatting away. It's like it's like, wow, am I in the country or what? Like, what is going on here? But yeah, okay. Enough about me and the damn chickens. Okay, Agador, I'm glad that you're joining us today. And
glad to be here.
We do. We really do have serious business at hand. And Tim and myself, and today Agador as well, we're very excited to introduce to you Sunny England and Glenn Saffer. They have started a new organization in the UK. That is the British Patriotic Alliance. Now, this is an organization with fresh views and insights on how it conveys that Islam, Sharia, and hate preachers are not welcome in the UK, and they also support our troops. And with that, I'm going to bring Sunny England in right now, and he can explain how he founded this group, why he founded this group, and how it is important to you in the UK and globally. And Sunny, welcome to the program. How are you today?
Hello.
Hi,
Sunny.
How is everyone?
How are you doing?
Hi, Sunny.
I'm not too bad, thank you. How is everyone this fine afternoon?
I'm doing very well and excited about this new endeavor that you founded and that Glenn Saffer is working so closely alongside with you regarding it. What exactly is the British Patriotic Alliance? What is your mission statement?
Well, first of all, the British Patriotic Alliance is a new patriotic group in Britain that stands for the British. And targets in our grasp at the minute. We believe that simply demonstrating and highlighting the problem is not enough. I believe that it is now time, instead of highlighting the problem, we need to combat the problem head on. So we are going to be combating extremists and extremist leaders by giving out leaflets in their neighbourhoods to make their neighbours aware that there are extremists and terrorists living in their neighbourhoods. We'll be going to their embassies and telling them enough is enough. We're sick of listening to hate preachers in the streets shouting and screaming on how blowing things up is basically the work of God and how brilliant it is and how killing people in mass numbers is brilliant. And also we shall be helping the forces, absolutely doing our best for the forces. We're going to be supporting the families of the fallen soldiers. We're going to be supporting forces serving, forces with post-traumatic stress disorder, which we'll go into later on the show. And also a big target for us is to help pinpoint and do as much as we can for the homeless soldiers and the homeless veterans that have been abused by the government and left on the streets after all the good work and the time they put into the country.
What I find very shocking is the treatment of the soldiers in the UK when they come home, and they are literally homeless, but we have Muslims that obtain council housing, like the hate preacher Ajahn Chowdhury, and he lives in five-bedroom homes. These are million-dollar mansions in some cases, and yet he is still allowed to carry on unfettered speaking hate and endorsing Sharia law and saying that it's fine to flog a woman who married a Christian in the UK. This is what the British Alliance is going to be fighting against. The British Patriot Alliance is going to be fighting against. And you are you're not inclusive. You welcome everybody to the British Patriot Alliance. and that is very heartwarming to me, because as a Canadian, some groups make me feel like a bit of an outsider, and it's refreshing that you are encompassing not only England, but you are encompassing Scotland, Northern Ireland, and you're global supportive of the counter-jihadist movement, and I'm so appreciative of that, in my humble opinion. But we also have Glenn joining us right now as well. And Glenn, would you like to expand on what Sunny has been sharing with us? And Glenn, welcome to the program, and how are you today?
Hello. Can everyone hear me loud and clear?
Yeah, loud and clear, Glenn.
Hello. Yeah, welcome everyone, and thank you for inviting me into your program on the Blog Talk, Kel, and also Tim and Dave. And also our friend Sonny. Sonny's lighted up a little bit of it, is what we're doing. We are be going round on the streets of the likes of Chowdhury Abaduza, who's going out and singing their praises about how well infidels should be killed. We will take the war on. We will run the world. Buckingham Palace will be a Muslim in another 10 years. All stuff like that, really, what they're coming out with, which we've finally just had enough of. So we won't be going there, actually going there and doing any kind of fighting stuff, which we're against. We're just going to go out there and oppose them, and openly that we will openly speak to them and tell them a few home truths. And also about, we've gone about a little bit of our soldiers, is we are also doing a lot of stuff now for the disabled soldiers. Just found out last couple of days is that they're stopping their pensions. So we're on that now. So the disabled lot coming home from war, from battle, they decide to say, sorry, see you later, on the streets, here you go. And no one's helping them.
It's a very disturbing in that, when the soldiers come home, Glenn, you sent me some material today that I was going over, and I was practically in tears, and that was the, I'm going to bring up his name because I really, really want to share this with the listeners, and this is from, well, it's a song called "Coming Home," but there's another link you sent me, and let me find that one. That's the one in particular. But while I'm doing that, I just want to convey to people that our troops are very much ignored by our respective governments, and that they do not respect what the troops do. When you are a veteran, it is a calling. It's not a job. It's a calling. And when they come home and they're treated so shabbily by our governments, it just is heartbreaking. And I think that I would like to ask Agador to speak with Glenn right now. And Agador, being in the United States, we're dealing with what we call ghost panels, death panels, in the sense that veterans are coming home and they're not getting the treatment they need, and they're literally dying. And I think Agador is the perfect one to address that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's as Kel says, there's no one in any of our countries can sneer at the other right now. I mean, there are just shocking things going on regarding our veterans in all of our countries. I know here in the VA, in our Veterans Administration, the care for the veterans has been shockingly bad for generations now. I can remember as far back as the 1960s, people talking about how bad it was, and veterans avoiding the free health care that they could get because it is just so was just and is just so awful. And yes, they've been cooking the books, delaying treatment for our veterans who need vital medical treatments, and manipulating the figures so that they look like they're doing everything they can for them, and yet they're not. They're not receiving the treatment they need, and our government's response has been minimal, in my opinion, at best. The television star Montel Williams made a very good suggestion about that, and that's in my last Unpleasant Blind Guy show, but that hasn't been followed up. Sum it up to say that that the veterans in all of our countries need need not just our respect, but our help whenever we can give them that help. And I'm delighted to see the British Patriotic Alliance stand up for the veterans in the UK. It's much like Rockstar's charity, Unforgotten Heroes, here in the States. This is the people helping the people that have kept us free. And I'll throw it back to you guys.
And Agador, thank you for that. And this is Sonny. You are such a young man, and you have a father that served in the military, and you saw the treatment of him. How does this make you feel that you are making a difference? Like, this must be quite a bolster for you, Sonny.
Cal. From the way I see it, is brave young men and women soldiers that are fighting out in war zones. They give their all, like I've said many a time. They leave their families behind, sometimes young kids, babies, wives, husbands, you name it, and they go out for months and months on end with the understanding that they may never return to see their family. I mean, that just out in that bit itself is so courageous. It takes someone, I mean, that must be mentally draining on someone to think that. And these guys, they deserve so much respect. I mean, they're given respect. They're practically putting themselves out, knowing the risks that they might of the things they might lose. And when they come home, they're treated by the military of defence, and David Cameron and the big captain in Parliament, and they're treated like scumbags. They're treated like second-class citizens in their own country, and it's disgusting. I mean, we have troops that end up homeless. We have troops that end up homeless with disabilities and post-traumatic stress, where people are allowed to abuse them on the street. You know, it's absolutely mind-boggling that any government would do that. You would think that is the first priority, is them boys are doing a service for our great countries. And the first thing that would happen when they come home, would they be greeted with open arms and looked after? Well, it's not the case, because in this country it seems if you have a knack of blowing up buildings or public transport, you are put into a big mansion, and you're given jihad allowance in our country, which is a benefit which is given to jihadists, to Muslims. And it's a hell of a lot more money than the normal British man or woman on job seeker benefits or whatnot is paid, you know. But our soldiers are left on the streets. Why these terrorists and absolute scumbags, disgraces to great nations like ourselves and America and Canada, etc. And they're being treated like scum. I mean, and it is. It's, I just believe that every man and woman, patriotic or not, every man or woman that live in these great nations owe a debt and a homage to these people. They should be doing what they can. They should be out there and making sure that these guys are getting the best treatment that they deserve. But it's so funny to understand that no one does, and it's so hard. But we will make a difference, and it makes us happy, you know, and we will make a change.
I'm going to pass this over to Tim, because I know that Tim has a question about your methodology, and that you're not going to be marching down the road, as it were, but you are actually going to be approaching the homes and engaging in a shaming, and Tim is the best one to address that, being in the UK.
Well, it's something that... I think it's extremely courageous for you to consider, Sonny. And I was just wondering what safeguards you might be putting in place to protect yourself and your group when you do that. Because as we know, when our Muslim friends get upset about something, they don't sit down and write a letter to the local newspaper. They pick up any sharp objects that come to hand, go out in the street, and it's Allah Akbar all the way. and destroying property and harming people is their stock in trade if they are not happy. And consequently, if your group takes action like this, particularly in areas that are infested with these people, then you might want to consider what you might be going to do to protect yourselves, because you know they really don't care how much damage they cause, because they know that if it were ever to come to court, there's a good chance that some dimmy judge will let them off, and I wouldn't want to see that that happen. And if it could possibly be avoided. So have you thought about that aspect of it? That would be my question.
Well, yeah, we thought a little bit down the side. But from our point of view, the way we see it, to start with, is groups who just the general public and the people of Britain and these nations don't stand up and be show an act of courageousness themselves, then nothing's ever get done. We will be using small handheld cameras. Okay, does it sound like much of a defence? But they're going to be hard to spot. We'll be using them because, of course, we're not going to be verbally or physically violent or abusive. We're simply going to go there, practically silent, or chatting amongst ourselves with leaflets. We're just informing, which I'll just drop out there. We've looked up, it's not against the law, because it's as long as you do not harass a person, it's the same within, if it was a paedophile, you have the right to acknowledge everyone in the area that there is a paedophile living on the street, and it's the same that we're doing with terrorism. And we will, as I say, we're using cameras. So if there is a confrontation, and that will then show that we're only there to inform and give people information on what's going on. And if they then decide to use a face, a camera, every action, as I say, we're not a violent group. If it comes to it and it does happen, we'll do our best to try and walk away after we've done what we've got to do and get out of there safely. But obviously, if it comes to it, as anyone does, and we are attacked and there's no way to get out, we will have to avert in a course of any sort of self-defense, because if you corner a rat, the rat's going to try and get away, you know, and that's all I could say. And it's the, the human being's natural reflex. We're in the first 30 seconds. If your body's threatened or under attack, the first thing that your body acknowledges in your brain is to fight, get your way out of there. And if that comes to it, which I don't think it will, and I'm hoping it won't, then that is how we'll have to proceed. But obviously, we're going to be doing daytime hits on the terrorism, terrorists and the extremists. So hopefully there'll be lots of witnesses and people that can, and probably police officers, as they've not been very brilliant in the past. And yeah, we're going to go around it that way, really. We're going to try and do our best to make a difference, but also, instead of verbally and physically violent, we're going to try and use wit and intelligence, get it on camera, and play the guys at their own cards.
And I have a question for Glenn, and I want to ask Glenn this, is that this is going to be a huge commitment. There's going to be a lot of traveling. And Glenn, are you prepared for a lot of the road work that will go into supporting this organization, Glenn?
Yes, Kel. As you know, I've traveled loads and loads and loads of places. This is no different to me. If we've got problems in Newcastle, we've got problems in Scotland, we've got problems in Northern Ireland, we've got problems in Wales, guarantee I will be there. Wherever part of the country, I will put my face on the line to get rid of these hate preachers, wherever they are. It don't matter, because we all come, money comes out of our own pockets. We're not asking for any donations to start with, nothing like that. We do exactly the same, no donations whatsoever. We are just normal patriots who are just funding out of ourselves, because we believe this country is at siege and we can't let it go on. And as you say again, is that what we will be doing in, I would say, in a couple of weeks. We're on to talks of it now. We're having talks with the UK Homes for Heroes, who do help out on the soldiers on the streets. We've also contacted the British Legion. I'm always in contact with the Salvation Army. We're in contact with them, because when we go on the streets and we go down these subways and we start seeing our soldiers in cardboard boxes, and have another joy, and they're afraid to go and tell their parents where they are because they've been in the army for so many years and they feel downgraded. We are going to do our utmost to put these in homes. If it means I will take one of them home and take one home to my own house and put some food into him. And this will be going on in 2 weeks' time. We will be going to London. We can't say whereabouts yet, but we will be hitting the streets in London. And if it means we'll go there 6 o'clock at night till 6 o'clock in the morning, and then what we'll do, they will take it further. We'll then go to the MOD office with signatures to see this is what is happening in our country. Because everyone turns around and says, all right, but our soldiers are going away when Sonny's just said it. Everyone has a Christmas dinner. Everyone loves Christmas. Think of our soldiers at Christmas without their families. Right? We are lucky that we're sitting here having Christmas pudding and stuff like that. Them, our soldiers are still fighting a war out there, which no doubt about it, we should not be there. We also will be fighting about bring our soldiers home. Enough is enough. We don't want our soldiers out there. That's another thing another one we will be tackling. We'll also be tackling the government on immigration. Now, the immigration side, people will jump on the bandwagon and say we're racist. No. What we're saying is we're not blaming the Bulgarians or the Romanians or the Polish coming this country for a free ride. What they should happen, this government should stop it happening. If people ask me to go to America tomorrow for on a free ride, I would be gone. That's the same amount for Romanian and the Bulgarians. I do feel sorry for them coming to our country. But the likes of Theresa May, who will let it go on and keep going on, we're going to be overrun by them. So we're going to tackle immigration as well. The immigration against the government, not against the Romanians or the Bulgarians.
And us being a North American, Agador and myself being in North America, we are seeing what is going on in the UK. Agador and I speak quite a bit about what we're going to do to fight the scourge here, because they're kind of silent, but we are seeing noises, and we're becoming rather concerned in North America. We're not going to be too far behind if we don't start acting as a protracted front and confronting Islam and saying not in our country. And Agador has issues in the United States, don't you, Agador?
Oh, yes. Certainly in the state of Michigan, that's where it's worse. There are other states like Maine and some of the eastern mid-Atlantic states, like, for instance, Tennessee, and some of the others are beginning to see the influx of Islamists. It's starting in Texas. I know that from first experience the last time I was down there, and that was a dozen years ago. We drove by a monstrously huge mosque, pretty much in the center of the state. So Islamists are doing what Islamists do. They're preparing the way and then moving in large numbers, and I believe that we will begin seeing what you guys are seeing over there in the UK within the next 5 to 10 years. If not sooner, we've already begun to hear about things like honor killings, and there will be worse, at least I feel, from the States. And Kel can elaborate a bit more about Canada. Back to you guys.
This breaks my heart to say that Canada has the dubious distinction of having the first mass honor killing in the West, and that was the Shafia family. And those were the three daughters and the first wife, and they were killed in Ontario a few years back. And this, of course, made international headlines. Everybody, I'm sure, is familiar with the Shafia family mass honor killings, and that the three daughters and the first wife, who, by the way, was passed off as being an aunt. We now find out that, no, she was the first wife, and she was barren. And so good old Muhammad Shafia brought in, he married a second wife. The family emigrated. They were settled in the Middle East in various places. They settled in Canada, and the daughters wanted to become westernized. And, the father and the older brother didn't like that. The first wife, who was more a mother to them than their own mother, the second wife. She was with the daughters, her surrogate daughters, and said, "Yeah, we're in Canada now." You know, like they don't want to wear the hijab, Muhammad. Like let them be kids. I mean, let them do things. And it was a real mess of a family. And the daughters were screaming out. The youngest one was running away, and the other daughter, she was going to homeless shelters saying, "I'm afraid to go home." And nobody listened to them. Nobody listened to their pleas for help. And ultimately what happened is that they were killed and their car was driven into the Rideau Canal. This is what we're dealing with in Canada. Now, I want to take it back to Sunny and say, when you hear stories like this, especially coming out in North America, do you... you know, wipe your brow and go, "Oh God, it's spreading," or do you say they still have hope?
No, me as a person, Colt, you know me, I'm one of these people. It's one of these things where it's got two sides to it. It's a case of, "Oh, we told you so, it was going to happen," mm-hmm. and it spread. And then it also comes to a case of, but this surely is now proof to hundreds and thousands, if not millions of people across the globe, that these Islamists are a threat. As you say, with these honour killings, it's disgusting. These are families. The kids, these are kids. You think most of you guys listening now or people out there that you've got young kids or maybe grown-up kids, they're forcing them to wear clothes they don't want to. And so most of the time because it's denied and they don't want to. The first I heard of in the canal or burning them alive. I've heard of skinning them alive. This is just a wake-up call. I mean, I don't like to say the words "I told you so" because it sounds very evil, but it's not meant like that. But it's a case that "I told you so." These people, obviously, it's a big sign now that these people are spreading, that these people are spreading their hatred, their murderous ways, their mass rape and genocide. It is spreading. They're now in Canada, North America, America, Britain, Germany, France, Europe is being hit pretty hard. I mean, guys, how long do we have to put up with this before our children aren't safe to leave the house at all? Before you're not safe in your own home, where you have 10 Islamists come flying through the door with machetes to hack you to pieces. And this is the harsh reality of what's going on here. I like to put it, no, we're not out in Afghanistan fighting the Taliban insurgents and with weapons and AK-47s and bombs and stuff. This is a war. This is a war on the home front, guys. And Cole brought it up early on in the show, and I'd just like to say, the British Patriotic Alliance, we will be combating Islamism and we will be trying to put an end to it. But we are proud to stand with great nations like Canada, like America, like Germany, like France. We are proud to stand with anyone of any sexuality, any religion, whether that's Sikh, Jewish, Hindu, Buddhist. We are proud to stand with all of you. And hopefully in the near future, when we get up on our feet properly, we'll be coming to help the fight in the countries near you. We'll be doing our utmost to come over there and keep the war effort on the front lines at home. But a big message, mainly from me, and I'm sure everyone on the BPA, we're behind you, and you're not alone.
That is really reassuring, because we do need more organizations like the BPA. We need more counter-jihadists out there. We need more organization, because time is of the essence. And Glenn, when you became part of the BPA, do you feel that time is of the essence?
Yes, definitely. When Sonny started the organisation off and about a month ago, you know, and he told me it was all about, and we got some very good patriots, you know, who have joined us. We've only going a month. We've got 100 strong members, and they're the members, what we've got, who are there for the right reasons. We're going out there, and obviously we're going to fight jihadis. We're going to do that straight away. But we can't run before we walk. So we're going to build up slowly. The organisation is not run by leadership. It's run by all patriots. Now, it will, mm-hmm. be done on a majority vote. If, for instance, we've got 100 people in there, we will talk together as normal people. If it don't feel like that's right for us, and we all agree, you know, every 100 people are going to agree, it's going to be on a majority vote, and that's the way we're going to work. So the leadership will never be a leadership in the BPA. Also, there'll be no divisions in the BPA, where you've got London, South, North, East, West. No, we are all one patriots. So where we've got stuff like, oh, they're doing something up in New Guards, or we get the New Guards, or wherever it is, we will be classed as one, one as one. We will travel together, no matter where we come from, we will travel. Now, I know Sonny's on the lines of talking to other international countries, which is brilliant. Mm-hmm. Like, down the pipeline, we are being offered to go somewhere in October. Can't say where at the moment, because Sonny's in talks, but this is something very good on our pipeline to go internationally, to stand on stage, to coincide with everyone in Europe and also across the country, like what Sonny just said, about we will support America, our fellow soldiers, who we stand with on front lines with them. We'd love to be going over there and helping them. We'd love to go to Canada. We'd love to go to Sweden. We'd love to go to France. This is not going to stop. 100 at the moment in 1 month. Just think, in another 6 months' time, how well we're going to go. The only reason we're going to go better is because the public will be behind us. Because we're going to do a different strategy, different ways of where we're going to take this further.
I think this is brilliant. And Tim has a question, and this pertains to the infiltration. There are many open groups that experience infiltration. How will you control that? But I'm going to let Tim expand on that himself. Oh, did we lose Tim?
Did you mute Tim?
No, it's technology. Sorry about that. Glenn, as with any group that has a public presence, as you become better known, there's the possibility of infiltration by people who would do harm to your cause. Do you have plans to deal with that if and when it happens? In the early stages, really well, but
yeah.
As the organization grows, that's...
Yeah, sorry, Sam, I know where you're coming from. Yeah, we roughly know who's who, but you can never stop people coming in because we're not a paid membership. Let's get it straight. When you get paid members, blah, blah, but what we've said, we will do unity. We'll have unity for people who believe in our mission statement. We would want anybody to walk with us who believe in us. But the likes of the racist groups, we will know who they are. We will find them. And they will be told they're no longer wanted with us. Right from the start. Don't forget, we've been in the game quite a long time now to know who's who and who's not who. But you cannot say who it is in the first place. But one thing we will not be doing, we will not be going down the streets singing songs. That's nothing what we're on about. We're on about going to towns dressed in civilized gear with shoes, trousers and T-shirts, something smart, to show the public that we're not thugs. We're out there to show a presence, that giving out leaflets and then walking down with flags, yes, on poles, but we will not be singing any songs. So when you hear the people, the likes who do want to infiltrate us, come down the road and start singing songs to us, they will not be welcome to us.
And also, Tim, do you mind if I just jump in and add a little bit on that?
Yeah.
From my point of view as well, the Patriots we've got at this minute in time, we're all safe, we're all pretty good friends and we've known each other. We're a tight-knit brotherhood. Now, as I've said, we will welcome anyone of any sexuality, of any colour or creed, of any religion, etc. However, we will make it very clear. We will not control people. We will make it very clear. People know our mission statement. Before it's like before you join a club. You want to know what you're in for. You read up about it first. If they are people that have felt that they feel that this is the right. They've seen our mission statement, and our mission statement clearly states we are not interested in racism. We are not interested in anti-homosexual attacks and attacks on different religions. It is very clear. So these people, if they come in on the false pretense of "oh, we're not," and it turns out they are, we will spot them very quickly, and we will have them removed by police or by security, because these people have no place with us. We're here to do what's right for country and the great nations, and we're here to do what's right for patriotism. You know, we're not here to section people out, because that is not how you win a war. These people, there's nothing wrong with colour and creed. We have a lot of coloured soldiers. We have a lot of soldiers that are of different religion. You know, so we are not game for that. And as you say, as we get bigger, it will become harder. But our efforts will be doubled. Our security will be put up. And if we see people want to go to defensive scumbag group, then we will curse them out, and we will know who they are, and they won't be welcome back. So, yeah, we've pretty much got that underhand, and that's why I got sound that bit.
Yeah, I would say again, the reason why we're getting out, because we won't be singing down the streets. We will be giving out leaflets to the public. But when we get to our point where they're going to be speakers, speakers will be speaking. There won't be no singing after the speakers. We will put our point across on a mic, and then we will just go away, walk where we walk. It'd be dry demos. No drinking on demos. Dry demos. No one drinking cans. Drinking pubs beforehand or after.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it sounds pretty good. And I suppose at the end of the day, I wouldn't really... It'll give away all your trade secrets with the steps that you're going to be taking during the various events, because, if people who have bad intentions towards the organisation know exactly what you're doing, then, you know, that gives them an edge. But, yeah, okay, that's fine. I have to say I do wish you well with this, because it's... It is long past time for people to get out there and to be proactive and to take the kind of steps that you're taking. So I certainly think it's extremely commendable. And I, for my part, and I'm sure Kel and Agador feel the same, we wish you the greatest of success.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes, we do.
We sure do. And Agador has a question as well, and that is about global partnership. And Sonny, of course, you touched on that, and so did you, Glenn. But is there anything we can do in, say, North America with chapters? And I think Agador would really love to expand on that one.
Well, just asking, you know, what ways we can help from this area of North America. We're obviously doing the things that we're doing in our groups for the veterans and whatnot, but what can we do to help inform people of the BPA and what it's doing, and maybe get the message across from the other side of the ocean that might not be resonating in your own hometowns?
As I say, on that one, Dave, we have a Facebook page, if anyone is on Facebook. It's the British Patriotic Alliance. Feel free to give us a like, as well as all of our update information on there, all the latest fights that we're doing, all the latest information on the soldiers and our current objectives. Feel free to give a like on that page and comment on any of the stuff we're doing, or give any information or any words of advice. You can feel free to message us on the like page. I've been thinking of obviously Overseas Alliance, is if, say, for instance, Canada have a certain problem pop up, it would be great if you guys could inform us and get a petition done that you guys can take to your local councils or whatever it is in Canada. I'm not actually too sure of that. but we, if you send a petition our way, we'll get all of our guys to sign a petition from over the sea here, just a minor thing, and we'll get it back to you, and just work in partnership. And as I say, hopefully in the future, when we do grow, we are going to be looking at hopefully coming over to you guys, and hopefully vice versa, and coming to show equal support over the pond.
Well, I can tell you that I think you'd be welcome. Glenn, you and Sonny both, and the rest of the British Patriotic Alliance, with some of our Tea Party groups, I think, you know, they love helping the veterans, and they love hooking up with fellow patriots from across the pond. So it looks like the future is bright as the BPA grows. Now throw it back.
And I think what we're going to do, I think what we're going to do is we're going to take a bit of a break and give everybody a chance to refresh their beverages. And I really want to play this song. This is courtesy of Glenn. He sent this to me. It's just beautiful. This is by Gary Barlow performing in Afghanistan with the troops. And we'll see everybody back here in 3 minutes.
Now the summer days come and gone away, Paris or Rome, but I wanna go home. Maybe surrounded by a million people I still feel all alone, but I wanna go home. I miss you, you know. And I've been keeping all the letters that I wrote to you, each one a line or two. I'm fine, baby, how are you? And I would send them, but I know that it's just not enough. I would call you back, but you deserve more than that. Another aeroplane, another funny place. Oh, I'm lucky, I know, but I wanna go home. I've got to go home. Let me go home. I'm just too far from where you are. I wanna go home. All together, let me go home. My wrong, baby, I'm done. I wanna go home. And it feels just like I'm living someone else's life. It's just like I've just stepped outside when everything was going right. And I know that I would send them, but it's not enough. My words were cold and flat. You deserve more than that. Another winter's day has come and gone away in either Paris or Rome, but I wanna go home. I've got to go home. And I'm surrounded by a million people. I still feel all alone. Let me go home. Go home all together. Let me go home. I'm just too far from where you are. I wanna go home. Let me go home. It'll all be alright. I'll be home tonight. I'm coming back home.
God bless you all. We hope you see you soon.
And that is a beautiful song. I want to thank Glenn in particular for sending that one my way. That was Gary Bartle performing in Afghanistan with the troops. And we want to thank everybody who is joining us this evening. We are so fortunate that Glenn Saffer and Sunny England can join us this evening and explain to you exactly what is going on in the UK with our troops, but what is going on with the issues of Islam within the UK, of course. But I want to share with you that We really appreciate the time that you spend to be with us. Tim and myself are very appreciative of that, and we're also very, very happy that Agador is joining us this evening as well. I asked Agador to come on because I wasn't sure if I was going to be a bit away, but I'm doing all right. But we really do. We want to thank all of you and to remind you, you're listening to the Red Sox Blogger. Our guests are Glenn Saffer in sunny England. Our people in the chat room are wonderful. We have, let me see, my page jumped on me again. Yeah, I love that. But we have Agador, of course, Cap, Glenn, of course. We have numerous guests, Luchadora, moving forward, TP Nani, and, of course, sunny England. And listening in the studio is our very own Sweet Sue from New Mexico. We also want to thank everybody that joins us to listen in archive. We appreciate all your time that you spend. And for the archived listeners, I have put the link to the Facebook group for the British Patriotic Alliance right there in the show notes. So for our archive listeners who enjoy Facebook, you can click right there. It'll take you right to the Facebook page. And with that, hey, everybody, how you all doing? And Tim, I think that I'm going to pass the mic to you because I think that there's a very unique situation going on in your neck of the woods, and I think this is something that Sonny and Glenn would like to address us, and that is the Trojan horse that is going on, and documents are being released, Tim. And give us a brief explanation and let Sonny address that and then let Glenn address that.
Yeah, sure. Well, for the listeners who haven't heard anything about the it's something that's been ongoing for a few months now. It concerns the education sector in the United Kingdom. And a letter was released a few months ago purporting to outline a plot for Muslims, or, well, radical Muslims, as they were termed, to undermine and suborn the UK education system, particularly in Birmingham. Although it has affected LB as well. At the time, some Muslims came under the spot, particularly governors of one particular governor, a gentleman who has form,
Tim,
I might say.
Tim, we're having an issue with your mic. You're cutting out quite a bit.
Oh, okay. I do about this. Let's just see. All right. Is that any better?
You may need to call back in, Tim. I mean.
All right. Okay. I'll call back in. If you like, we can address this a little later. But I'll go out and come back in and see if that makes any difference. Okay. See you in a moment, guys.
And Tim is technically the host on the program, and when they leave and. The big red button comes up that says end episode. But yes, Tim was addressing the issues of the Trojan horse, which is going on in Birmingham. And documents are now coming out. I don't know, Sonny or Glenn, if you've had an opportunity to read these documents. But see, this is an infiltration of the public school system going on in Birmingham in particular. Of course, this is of special interest to Tim, as that is his neck of the woods. Now, You're not going to be marching down the road. You're not going to be singing songs. You're not going to be congregating at pubs and carrying on and showing up and, you know, hey, here we are. You are much more focused in the sense that you are going to publicly shame individuals. And there are a lot of names in this document that would be worthy of your attention. And would you seek out these people? Would you seek them out and literally get a group together and stand in front of their homes and publicly shame them? And, Sonny, I'm going to pass that one to you.
Well, yes, Cal. As you know, it is my neck of the woods too. It's my home place, which is it's pretty hard to take on board when you see something like that. When not only I was going to school there 8 odd years ago, and it's horrendous to hear. But as I say, we will not allow this to happen. I mean, they're not just attacking them. They're now pinpointing and attacking schools involving young children. I mean, this is the whole thing. We are not going to accept this. I mean, it involves, it has involved teachers making children remove certain wristbands for forces charities, forcing them to wear niqabs and burqas and whatnot. Also, they've took the freedom away of pork. Pork, bacon, etc. from the canteens and replaced it with halal meat. Now, this is a big problem for me because, okay, the Muslim kids there have to eat halal meat, but there are a lot of Christians. We're forgetting Britain is originally a Christian country, and it clearly states in the Bible that Christians are not allowed to eat sacrificed meat, so it works both ways. But in this case, the infiltration of these schools, the Christian children are not getting the same option that these Muslims are, which is horrendous because what happens we all know that Muslims don't believe in the equal rights. But yes, we will. We will find names. Just remember, I like to say it wherever I go, they can run and they can hide, but we will find them. We will find their name and we will shame them. And we will publicly expose what these scumbags are doing, which effectively is harassing small children in playground areas and in their schools.
Sounds like infringement on religious freedom and religious rights to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is. It's disgusting. I mean, everyone... Muslims have to have slaughtered meat. Okay, that's well and good. Let the Muslims have their slaughtered meat, even though I'm not a big... I'm very animal rights, so I don't agree with that, but it's their religion. Let them carry on. But then forcing Christians to eat a meat that is against their religion is... It seems fine, but if not slaughtered meat to a Muslim, oh, well, no, that is... oh, what an outcry. That is horrendous. It's death penalty and all this is... But what about these Christian kids? I mean, our kids should have a say. I mean, this is another thing. Parents, we will be hoping to work alongside a lot of these kids' parents because we are there. We're the voice for them, and we will take action, and we will support them and support the equal rights for our children, which is only fair. And, yeah, hopefully, as I say, any problem we see come up, we will be combating it. They can hide and they can try and pull their dirty tactics, but we will be there and we will support the people of Britain and we will support the children. And because our children have a right to have a good upbringing, a nice childhood, good education, and to eat what they want to eat. They shouldn't be told what they can and can't do to a certain extent. But, yeah, we will do our best and we will be on this log.
That is another reassuring message that the listeners love. I don't know if you can see the chat room, but they are they're pretty busy in there, Sonny, and they're liking what they're hearing. Now, and you brought up the issue of halal food, and I'm going to ask a question and direct this at Glenn. Well, first I'm going to premise it with a comment, and that is in Canada. We do not have halal labeling, and this bothers me. And that if I go to the supermarket, I cannot decipher what is halal and non-halal. And Glenn, if you could do anything, I know that you would demand that things be labeled halal. Is this being done in Great Britain? It's not being done in Canada, and it's not being done in the United States, Glenn.
Yeah, in the main supermarkets, like you might not know, have heard of Sainsbury's, Asda, Marks and Spencer's, and all our big shops.
Yeah,
they have got signs up saying halal meat, which really we cannot go against because if they're promoting it and they're saying what it is, it's no good us jumping on the bandwagon and say don't eat it because that's unfair.
Mm-hmm.
I see where you're coming from. Now there is small little shops which we are ironing out. where we don't know what it is, until you get home, it's a small little bit in the corner. So what I advise people to do is go outside and demonstrate outside to change the rules like we did, like in the United Kingdom, which we really went on it and stated and said, hold a minute, let's put it somewhere, let's see it, not little bits where you can see in corners. We want to see a massive bit on a cardboard when you go down an aisle. This is how I meet, all down there. But I know where you're coming from, it's not happening. In small shops in England, it is not happening. But in big supermarkets, that is stated now what you're eating. But you need
so
to
it's
be...
more or less becoming policy.
Yes. It's, I can't see how Canada's not even thinking about doing the same.
I will... Sorry, go ahead.
Go on. Or even America. Because at the end of the day, is that you have every right to know what you're eating. And that's what you want to be going on. It's going outside with leaflet in. Do you know, realise this shop is selling halal meat and it's not saying what it is? It's it straight away.
Yeah. And I think we have Tim back.
And I will mention that just very briefly, that is also an accessibility issue. Everyone should know what they're reading, and it should be in methods that everyone can read. Go ahead, guys.
Yeah, it's not happening in Canada and Agador. It's not happening in the United States, isn't it?
Nope, it isn't.
Just a quick question for you guys over the pond. If for the United States, obviously, ASDA over in the UK starting to certify halal meat. Not all big supermarkets are doing it, but it's starting to take place. How would that stand with Walmart in America? Because I do know that ASDA, is it the little brothers of Walmart? Yes. They are run by Walmart. So surely if they're certifying it in places like ASDA in the UK, then Walmart should be following the same policies and labeling it over in the States there.
Okay, I don't know
that
for
is
sure
great. Yeah, that,
whether that's
for
happening.
For Agador, that is great for you to address because I believe that Walmart is non-halal compliant, and so Agador, take it away.
It is as far as I know. However, there is such a thing as throwing up a trial test balloon. Companies do this all the time, and that might be what Walmart is doing. In this case, they might be using this other company to sort of test the waters to see how that works in other Christian countries, because the UK is predominantly Christian, and just to see how it affects their overall sales and whatnot. So there are countries that many of us thought would never go, or companies that many of us thought would never go halal, but they have. And excuse me, Walmart could very well be one of those companies that's using one of its subsidiaries to explore that possibility. All right, back to you guys.
And I think we have Tim back. And Tim, welcome back. Okay, maybe we don't have Tim back.
The thing I'm saying, Kel, the thing I'm saying about LME is, I'm saying, is along the line, people don't realize when they buy LME, they are funding terrorism because so much percentage goes back into terrorism.
Oh, absolutely. And everybody knows that I produce for a variety of shows, and I one in particular that speaks about the issue of halal meat is Mike Holt of Restore Australia. And he is the one that started the sticker campaign, and that is do not purchase halal products. And if you see a name brand product in the supermarket, get your sticker pad out and say, this is halal compliant. And this is what Mike Holt is doing out of Australia. I'm very proud to produce for his program on Wednesdays. And I would love for you gentlemen to have a conversation with Mike Holt one day, because he is so adamant that he is not going to tolerate this in Australia. You're certainly not tolerating it in the UK. Agador and myself, we're not tolerating it in North America, Canada, and the United States. This is enough. And there's a really good video which features Mike Holt speaking about the halal production of beef, in particular the cattle. There's also a rancher that speaks about how he is a fourth generation rancher, and he had always had faith that he was sending his cattle off to humane slaughter into the to the abattoirs, and now he doesn't know what to do, and he's thinking of closing down his ranch and getting out because he cannot be assured that they are going to be humanely treated. And this is happening in the United States as well. Agador will attest to that. We have rendering plants in Canada that are halal compliant. And it's really, really tough. Now, you walk into a supermarket, and it's what is halal, what is not halal. And I'm assured, Glenn, though, that you say that at least the larger chains, they're letting you know that the meat is halal. I don't understand, though, about the soups. Campbell Soups in Canada, they have a halal-compliant soup product, mushroom soup, tomato soup, this and that. I was shocked when I went to my supermarket and picked up a case of soup. When the Campbell's products come on sale, I would buy in bulk to stock the pantry. And I was visiting Bare Naked Island, that's Bonnie's site, and she said, "Do you realize that Campbell's soup is halal compliant?" And I raced into my pantry, and sure enough, half the cans of soup that I had brought home from that big, sale, where they had the ISNA stamp on it, and that is the Islamic Society of North America. So I had to box up all those soups and return them and get my money back with a letter to the manager explaining that I do not eat halal-compliant products. And it was disappointing for me because I really liked the Campbell's Soup product. And I phoned their customer service, and I said, what is this? What's going on? Oh, well, it's called multiculturalism, and we're just, policing all our clients. It's like, no, this is you feeding into a cult system, and they are getting the upper hand. And I was very upset. And the customer service representative informed me that she was married to a Muslim, and she found my concerns rather offensive, and she hung up on me. How do we deal with that? Sonny, when you are out there on the street and you are saying enough is enough, do you feel that people will come up to you, Sonny, and say, what are you doing? You're being nothing but a racist.
Yes, Cal. Just before I go on to that, I'd just like just a bit of information for some of the guys out there if they don't know. Because a big argument that someone will have to this avatar and halal fight that's going on, if you want to call it that, is they turn around and say, oh, yeah, well, avatars, sometimes they don't die humanely. Sometimes the bolt gun that they use doesn't kill them. Now, let me just get this out here. 1 in 10 animals in abattoirs that happens to. 10 out of 10 of the animals that are halal slaughtered are in pain and are withering for life and trying to be after. So there is no argument to that. And to what you were saying, Cal, with people like that, I would simply address it to them. That is all well and good. I have my beliefs and you have yours, and I have my opinions and you have yours. You clearly have not gone up and complained and made a big thing to this lady. You've took it the right way. You've written to the management, and you've expressed in your own feelings. You've not said how vile it is and that, this is swearing and everything. You've clearly stated that that is something that you will not eat. And we have a lot of this in the world today, is the race card. Now, when it's a Muslim, if you have expressed your feelings mutually and said, no, I'm not happy with that, thank you, they will then play the race card of, oh, you can't say that, that's offensive. Why is it offensive? There are equal rights. If I was to walk into a shop, I will not eat certain food because I'm not picking that certain item of food off the shelf. Does that mean that I'm against someone else because I won't eat a food that they like. They might find it delicious and I might find it quite disgusting. So am I in the wrong for that? You know, that, ladies and gentlemen, is a perfect example of Islam trying to worm their way in, because they are trying to find perfect defences to put up to try and push us up and to try and get their own way. And the problem we have is with political correctness, with our politicians that are supposed to be looking out for the best for their country, turning on us and saying, oh, you have no right. But rest assured, ladies and gentlemen, please don't feel that you are being racist or disrespectful in any way for turning halal meat away or saying that you would not eat that type of product and express your own views, because I don't believe the victims of most have a right to view to turn around and say, oh, well, I think that's disgusting. And their answer to that is, oh, well, we can do it because it's our religion. You know, and it works the same way in this halal business. At the end of the day, everyone has the right to freedom of speech, and you have the right to express your opinion. And as I say, Christians cannot eat that meat, so are they racist for saying, I'm sorry, but I can't eat that as it is not, it does not agree with my religion and the way and my beliefs? Oh, no, well, you must be a racist. And ladies and gentlemen, it's another big bang on thing that Islamists will turn around and say, oh, racist, but please don't feel that you are a racist. It is just a way that the left wing, unfortunately, and the Muslims like to use it to intimidate us.
And Glenn, I don't want to reiterate my question, but if there is an issue, say it was your own family and they came home with halal compliant products, how does your, I guess what I'm wanting to ask is, how do you deal with that when this sort of thing walks into your door? Do you kick it back out?
No, I would do exactly the same what you done, Kel. You done everything right by going there, going to the place first and speaking to the manager, going down the lines of that. I would not be going to the shop and start rearing up and swearing and God knows what. That don't get you anywhere. So I advise any customer to go down there. If you get home and you find you've got stuff which is not labelled, but then I would go down further down the lines, is get a petition up. You need to get petitions standing outside the shop.
Mm-hmm.
And if the police tell you to move on, you move on, but you still get petitions. They can only move you on for so long. And you go down 10 minutes down the road, and anybody's walking near that shop, will you like to sign the petition? They are selling halal meat without anyone knowing. So the best way is to get the public behind you, is get out and do petitions. That's which I've been doing, and which I've done for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I went and got petitions outside Asda's and Sainsbury's and all these shops, and we stood out there for an hour, every single Saturday, speaking to the public nicely, and get there and get your votes.
So, Kel, might it not be instructive for you to let Glenn know, you know, what Mike's procedure is for halal products?
Yeah, shame, publicly shame them, call them out.
Yes.
The sticker campaign.
Well, there's that, and also
go to the website.
There's also that, and there's also Mike suggesting with, say, for instance, things like Cadbury. To help do a little bit of harm to the halal campaign, buy the product, take it home, open the outer packaging, all right, and then take it back to the shop and say, oh, I opened the outer packaging here before I realized this was a halal product, and my religion won't allow me to eat it, and they'll have to take it back, and they won't be able to restock
it. That's right, and that's the thing.
Help.
Hit them where it hurts, because every person who purchases a halal-compliant product is paying a jizya, and Mike is completely correct on that. And Agador, thank you for bringing that up, because that's right. And I more or less did that with the Campbell soups. And, this is going to sound a little – people might think I'm petty, but I dented the cans so that they could not restock them, and that's exactly I make Mike proud.
No, Kel, you that was just an accident, hon.
Yeah, Kel,
didn't mean it.
Yeah, Kel, have you got any abattoirs around by where you are?
Yeah, we do. We have Better Beef Ontario where I live. As far as I know, though, they're not halal compliant.
Right. Because in England, we done a demonstration in Skegness against one, and lucky enough, within a month, we shut it down. We were then We were going to get the animal rights people behind it. Now the animal rights are on it. They are on this case now. We want to know why the animal rights people are not behind on this, helping us out. They are maining the animals. We went past the abattoir and we smelt it. We smelt it from 10 feet, 20 feet, 30 feet away, stale food. It was horrible. And we sat there and we demonstrated for at least an hour and a half. And we said we will be back every week until this place is closed down. They got frightened and the place was shut down within 3 weeks.
That's a great point, Glenn, because, you know, this is one place where you know, you get strange bedfellows. The, you know, the animal rights people really never like meat in the first place, but halal meat is the worst possible means of slaughter. And I'm doing that here in the States. I've got a few connections on the left-hand side of things, the progressive side of things. And whenever I find things about halal meat, I pass it on to them. And they're not happy about it over here. And we have what we call professional progressives over here. They're on assistance, and they just love to go out every day and protest things, including things like this. So, yes, it's a good place where we can get some cooperation together. What about you guys?
Yeah. I mean, this for one, I would love to put it out there, as you say, Agador. I would love personally, it would be a great honour and a great respect for me if as I was saying, the last bit of our name, the way forward is to form an alliance with Canada and America and other countries, and we will help each other, as I say. If you like our page, share it to your page so people can see it and share it. If you guys have a page, you pass it on to us, we'll do the same. Petitions, it don't just have to be local. If you guys have got a problem with halal and stuff, get it over the pond. Get it to us, an online petition. We will get that. We're united together. We're brothers and sisters in arms here. We're family, and we respect you guys a great lot, like we respect any other patriot and anyone else that loves their country. And I'm sick of it. We have a lot of people that are scared to come out to patriotism because they're going to be classed as racist. No, you're not racist. You're a great person. You should tap yourself on the back and say and stand up with your chest out and go, do you know, I love my country, and I'm damn sure not going to let any of these that come over and tell you that you're not. Don't you dare. You're all great people, and we have a right. And as I say, I'm proud and I'm honoured, and I'm looking forward to the future of our alliance with the brothers and sisters of several nations, and hopefully together we can get things sorted.
See, when people say racist on the card, no, you use the word I'm a patriot, not racist. You cannot be racist against a religion. What's race against a religion? There's no race against religion. As we said, the alliance will tolerate black, brown, white, green, yellow, any colour or creed. So do not put that down as racist, because they don't hit the racist card. All I keep saying to people, because I'm a patriot, I'm a racist. Think again. Let me know why I'm racist. Speak to me why I'm racist. And 9 times out of 10, they can't tell you why you're racist. They can't.
Oh, no. No, they can't. They can't, Glenn. I've had that argument used against me. Oh, well, you don't like Islamists, you know, Islam, you know, then that makes you a racist. And I turn back around and just say Islam is not a race. See, over here in the States, and I know this is kind of different in other countries, but over here in the States, it's strictly about skin color, you know, if as far as racism goes. You know, it's race bigotry is what it is. So here in the States, if someone pulls that on us, all we have to do is say, okay, so you're saying that all there are just brown Islamists? I don't think so. You might want to look around. No, Islam is not a race. It's an ideology.
Yeah, see, what it is going down again as an alliance, which really they can't call us racist any line whatsoever. We are fighting for our soldiers, American soldiers, and the soldier all round Europe to get out of Syria, that's the next one, get out of Afghanistan, get out of Iraq, get out of all these Muslim countries, right? Now, the Muslims want us out of their countries. So if while we say, let's get our troops home, how can we be racist?
That's a good point.
Exactly. There's a little slogan that I always have, I've always used, mm-hmm. That my granddad used growing up. He said to me, I was called a racist at school once, and he said to me, listen, Sonny. He said, you're not a racist. He said, these people don't understand the meaning of a racist. He said, you're not a racist, you're a realist. And that's the
nice.
Truth, and the truth hurts. I mean, like you've said, and it is true, if it's so racist, a race is against the colour of creed in a race. Islam is a religion. It's not a race. It is a religion. It's an ideology, like you say. And it, like you say, after these times, you go up to them and say, okay, please explain to me why I'm being racist, what I'm doing to be racist. And if you've got a good story and you can back up, then I'll take the chin, say, hands up, I'm sorry, and walk away. But after the time, these people just pull that race card because it's just that one word that can cripple someone. Oh, racist, racist, and everyone goes running. Well, turn around in the street and say, well, prove that I'm a racist, you know. And half the time, these people get into a hot sweat and get a little temper tantrum, bang their feet, clatter their teeth, and walk off.
Well, you know what? Just quote 9:29, chapter 9, verse 20, chapter 9, verse 29. This is our opening song, mine and Tim's opening song on the Monday program. Everything is in there. Everything we need to know about Islam is right in that opening song that Tim and I play. And it is true. They try to convince us that Islam is, you know, I'm sick of the religion of peace. And Tim is right. If he hears that one more time, he's going to scream. He's going to pull his hair out. And as am I. But it is. We have to ask direct questions, and we have to understand that Muslims are adhering to the Quran. Ask them, what do you think about this verse and chapter and verse? Ask them. Say, well, read this, and you're trying to sell me a bill of goods. And let them know that you're a lot more knowledgeable than they think you are. And another chestnut that really annoys me is, well, you don't understand Arabic, therefore you don't understand the Quran. Well, 90% of Muslims don't speak Arabic either, but they still follow. It is a rote religion. They do not have individual thought. They follow. They follow they're in a herd. They engage in groupthink. It's what the imam says. Well, the imam says, I told you so, and they all go say, oh, well, okay, that, you know, then that must be right. But I am also sick and tired of being called a kafir, and that is so insulting to me as a Christian, and it should be, if I were Jewish, that would be insulting as well. Now, Sonny, when you do engage in dialogue with a Muslim, is that the way that you would approach it? Would you, like, I know you're very well knowledgeable in the Quran and what is in it. You can come back with very effective arguments, but they always seem to go to the chestnuts. You don't understand Arabic, therefore you don't understand the Quran. And, yeah, and like you say, Sonny, you're a racist.
Yeah. With the Christianity, the Christian's God teaches I had a Christian mm-hmm. come to me, and he said, don't hate. He said, even I had a conversation in there with a couple of Christians at a door, and they said, even with these Muslims, they're your enemy. Do you know, that is love all the way. I'm sorry, right, so. But with Muslims, I've read the Quran. I had it ordered in a library in English, as I wanted to read it, because people were going, oh, well, you don't know your stuff, do you? And I said, well, simply, yes, I do know my stuff. I've read your book, and I'm sorry, stating in the Quran, in your holy book, which is supposed to be peaceful, to, I'll break a few verses off here, why the mm-hmm. infidel is turned, take what is yours, and basically befriend him, stab him in the back.
And also, with the oppression of women and underage marriage, it states, while a Muslim man is married to his first wife, he may take anything in his right arm's possession of a non-Muslim sex slave. I'm sorry, that is not... That is not greeting people. And when I hear these politicians like Barack Obama and David Cameron saying, oh, there is nothing wrong with these people, so their way of greeting, in our way of greeting, when I greet you, Cal, or you, Dave, or you, Tim, or Glenn, or anyone else, you shake their hand, or you say, hello, how are you? But the reality is, and the Muslim way of it is, hi, how are you doing? Oh, well, get a cloth over your head before we hack you to death with a machete. That is not peaceful, you know, and the best way, guys, I can tell you, if you can do it, just do some research. Look up on the Quran, look at some of the verses, and when these extremists or these Muslims turn around to you and go, but Prophet Muhammad is right and this should happen, you could turn around and say, well, actually, no, because where we come from in our homeland, we don't agree with children being married off at the age of 9 and being slept with and passed between 40 men at the age of 4. So, agreeing and pressing our women, we have equal rights, no matter if it's black or white or if it's man or woman. We have equal rights and we will not accept you, because the thing is, when you use facts against these people, they kind of go into a dark corner and they kind of turn around with puppy eyes and look up to people like Barack Obama and go, oh, please defend us, and these gullible stupid muppets turn around and go, well, actually, oh, they're great people, when actually, no. Fight them intellectually, guys. Instead of going on the streets and trying to confront them violently, research on them and say, well, if this is a religion of peace, where in the meaning, in the dictionary or in the word peace, does it involve rape or macheting or blowing someone up? You know, that is not peace. So what my advice is, use intelligence. I mean, intelligence always beats the violence, you know. So, yeah, just a heads up for you guys. Just research into it. Have a look about it and see them squirm when you come against these.
Yeah, I had a real problem a while back when a Muslim... this is before I really understood what Islam was. This is pre 9/11, you know, September 11th, 2001. And I went into a business. And the person was a Muslim. And I said, oh, hi, how are you doing today? And he says, As-Saluma Alaikum. And what that means, of course, is peace be upon you. But what they're actually saying with that greeting is that peace be upon you because you are troubled. You are part of the barbarity. You are an infidel. And when I was reading this, I was reading up on it, As-Saluma Alaikum. It's like, Don't say that to me, okay? Because, first of all, I am not one of the unwashed masses. I am a Christian. I follow the true prophet of God, and that is Jesus Christ. And when they throw these phrases at us, they're essentially insulting us. They're saying in Muslim speak that you are impure. And my saying, As-Saluma Alaikum, it is almost like they're using it as a talisman to ward them against my evil. It disgusts me. Agador, what do you think of that?
Well, I just want to throw in something, a kind of supplement to what was said earlier. If people want to find out more about Islam, a great way to do it, aside from reading the Quran, which is one thing they can certainly do, is listen to a fellow who does a blog talk radio show here every Saturday night. It's kind of early in the morning for the UK, but there are always archives. He's a fellow named Usama Dakdok, and he's on, I believe, Kel, the Radio Jihad Network. His show tells the truth about Islam, and one of the things that Usama says is that whenever he meets Christians who have converted from Islam and asks them why, a majority of them tell him, it's because I found out what is really in the Quran. Islam is a rote religion. Anyone who tells you that you have to know Arabic in order to understand it is just not getting it. There are so many people who just learn the prayers, kneel down and say them, and listen to what the imam tells them, and that's all. That is equivalent to I can say this. blind obedience to a government or a philosophy or anything like that. It's not making a choice for yourselves. It's letting someone else make a choice for you, and that choice is exactly what the British Patriotic Alliance is fighting against, and so many other people, the choice to abuse people who don't believe in the same ideology as Islam, the choice to abuse women, the choice to abuse gays, the choice to abuse disabled people, the choice to abuse anyone that this crazy cult has decided that it's okay to abuse and hasn't changed their minds on since the 7th bloody century. I'll toss it back.
And you brought up a very fine program on the Radio Jihad Network. I put the link in the chat room for everybody. And, yes, this is, pardon me, this is Revealing the Truth About Islam with Usama Dakdak. And you can hear him 10 p.m. Eastern Time every Saturday evening. There's a lot of fine programs over there at the Radio Jihad Network. And, yes, Agador, thank you. You really do support the Radio Jihad Network. As a matter of fact, the proprietor of the Radio Jihad Network just joined us in the chat room, and that is Vito Esposito.
Vito!
And he is mine and Tim's boss, because we are the Freedom-Loving Infidels, heard Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to let you know this right now, that Sonny and Glenn are going to be gracing the Radio Jihad Network tomorrow evening. So please tune in for that, where we are going to have a whole lot more questions. And we're going to take this conversation in different directions, because this is very exciting for me. I'm very excited about this new movement. I'm very excited that I have an opportunity to interview both Sonny and Glenn about the British Patriotic Alliance. Now, I want to get back to Glenn for a moment, though, and expand on what Sonny was explaining about in terms of petitions. Glenn, are you going to have these are going to be online petitions, and are you going to also do door-to-door petitions?
Yeah, when we go up a little bit bigger, when we will be going around the streets on lights on Charles Street, we will not be going straight to his house. We will be letting the other people down the house know. We'll be knocking on their doors first to let them know they have got a hate preacher down your street who never condoned the Lee Rigby murder, who never condoned the 7/7 bombing in England, in London. So we will be knocking on their doors. I bet they don't know where he lives or where these people live, these eight preachers. But we were going down there, giving them little signs of letters, so we can't get done for obstruction of peace, because if we get the public out on the streets with us on that day when we go down their streets, when we stand outside his house, we're hoping we will get people coming out with us to stand with us. And also, as you say about petitions, is that where we'll be going to shops in London. Not saying what shops we're going to yet, but there'll be shops in London where we know there have got jihadists there, definitely hate preachers who are serving in shops, who are going in there, giving them a leaflet, coming out of the shop and telling people who this man really is, bringing him onto the streets and saying, this man is a hate preacher. This man disagrees with infidels. He wants you shot. He wants you killed. He wants to rule the world. And that's what we will be doing.
He's one of many.
Prisons as well. You know, there's so much we've got in lines of going down, being converted in prisons. The reason why these young lads are being converted, they are frightened. They have been overrun. The population of the prisons now, they're putting them away. These eight people are getting 30 years. No, let's forget they're getting 30 years. They are still preaching hate. When a normal Christian goes in there, he goes on the landing and he gets beaten. And he gets beaten for not believing the Quran. So what they do, they get scared and they get forced into going to mosques, preaching the hate again. And that's how they get these converted people. We need to be on this in England. I don't know if it's happening in America, or Canada.
It is. It is.
But in England, it's a well-known fact that there was a bloke who was a Christian, a very naughty boy Christian, who done bank jobs, right? And all of a sudden, within 3 years, he's on the streets preaching hate with children. And he was a Christian. You know, and this is happening in prisons. I know a lot of young lads are getting abused and hit, and they're frightened to go out there and do something about it. So what they do, they join them. So we want to tackle the prisons as well in England.
It's if people scroll up, they're going to see some slides up there, and one in particular. There's a couple of Anjum Chowdhury. One of his accolades is one of the two that slaughtered Lee Rigby in the streets at Abawalaji. I believe his name is, I can't pronounce his name, and I don't even try, because they all have fake names anyway. But he is right there. Ladies and gentlemen, please do look at the show slides. This character is right there, and he's standing behind Anjum Chowdhury. And it disgusts me that this goes on in the UK. This is why I'm heartened that you have a movement that is going on, and that we need more voices, ladies and gentlemen, and we cannot be inclusive. We cannot be inclusive. We have to all act together globally. And Adebolajo, that's his name.
Kel, what people don't realize that Abajoli, right, he sat at a Harrow demonstration preaching hate in 2007, 2008, behind Chowdhury.
Yeah.
Preaching hate. Now, he had that in his mind, and he goes and kills one of our soldiers. Took preaching hate a long time ago before then. So the likes of him, who got converted, who was a Christian, he got converted by the Brotherhood. How many more people like that there are getting converted?
That is the worrisome aspect, and like you and Sonny have pointed out, we call it here a prison conversion. When you go to prison and you're in there, a lot of prisoners don't realize that when they convert to Islam, they play for keeps. You can't walk away from Islam, and they don't realize that. They're Muslims, but you know they call us reverts, and this is Islam, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, this is something else as well. Do you know that we're all born infidel? But when we convert to Islam, we are reverting back to the true form of humanity. This is like, they're barking mad, Glenn.
The reason why, you know, they do get converted in jails, in prisons. A Muslim will be let out five times a day out of his cell. So people think, this is easier. They get the food, they get this time, they get bedtime, they get mosque, they get treated better than any Christian. So what a lot of people do, they think it's easier. We get took out of our cell five times a day. That's not punishment.
Yeah.
That's not punishment. And then what happens then? Then they go out with them five times a day, and that's how they start them off. Let them be in exactly the same times. Let them have one day out. One day out, the same as the Christians do, not five times a day.
Absolutely.
Also, Cal, a little bit off subject, but I did want to bring something up, something very close to my heart personally. A big thing that I would love to see, and that I am going to be doing my utmost to see, because it is deserved. And for others, over the pond, on 9/11 as well, we will all be holding public silence and laying flowers for the brave men and women that were lives were lost through the tragedy of Islamists, we will be showing our support. So you're not alone over there. We feel the pain, as we know we've had pretty much the same sort of incident on a lower scale. But we will be supporting. We will have our guys out in the streets, and we will try and do our best for the silence for these brave people that lost their lives.
Sonny, I've been going for the last 3 years to 9/11 down the American Embassy in London against these jihadists. And I stand there with proud Americans with the stars and stripes. Stand with them, attention, on the 2 minute silence. And when we stand there in 2 minute silence, we have got the likes of the hate preachers singing through the 2 minute silence. I don't give a damn.
I'm standing there
to proudly stand there with them. But what you get is the opposite. They are out on England, on the streets of London, cheering for a 2 minute silence.
And I'll tell you, as an American, guys, we all appreciate that because every time we hear about something like that, you know, our hearts swell with appreciation. Because there are the hate preachers out there that are doing exactly what Glenn is talking about. But you guys are the ones that shine. You're the ones that we remember. And as an American, I can tell you, we do appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah,
I mean, it means a lot. We, as you know, we have our Remembrance Day for our brave for 1914 and for Second World War and onwards. And we feel the pain. We see it. We go down to the American Embassy and to have 2 minutes to remember them, the brave and souls that were lost that day through the destruction of Islam. And when we're doing the same on 7/7, did you know, guys? On the 7/7 bombings, where the Muslims blew up the underground tubes in London and the buses, every year for the last 3 years, our TV and news broadcasts do not mention a 2 minute silence, do not mention remembering our lost and the lost souls that lost their lives in the 7/7 bombings. That is how unimportant we are in the UK. They can't remember our fallen. I mean. It's disgusting, but as I say, we are a brotherhood, and we feel your pain as you feel ours, and we will take the fight just as we have through World War II, Afghanistan, or on the streets. We'll all stand together, united, and we will stand side by side. We'll fight the cause.
Well, may I make a small suggestion, and it's only a suggestion, you know, and feel free not to do it or whatever. But on 7/7, when it gets dark, where you guys can, and I'm thinking about suggesting this too for over here in the States, because we'll have some fireworks left over. Send up 7 rockets.
Okay.
To remember.
That's a really good idea.
Well, that actually depends on our police forces and our government. They could accuse us of, on the side of it, it sounds silly, but of arson or terrorism for setting up fireworks, though it's not a scale. But I will want that to promise. You have my promise and my word on that, Dave. I will do that.
Yeah, I mean, where you can, where your local laws allow and things like that, because it gets kind of sketchy about that concerning fireworks over here in the States, too. But it's just a thought.
Yeah, no, that's the problem. We will send up the fireworks and we will all remember.
Okay.
No, we are running short on time. And you have been listening to the Red Fox Blogger, where our guests have been this evening, the founders of the British Patriotic Alliance, and that is Sunny England and Glenn Sasser. On behalf of Tim and myself, and of course Agador joining us today, we really want to thank you for your valued time. Sonny, do you have any parting words for the listeners?
Cal, I love you to pieces. It's lovely for you to have us on your show. Dave, I look forward to speaking to you soon. Brilliant
All
guy.
Right.
Absolutely fantastic. Same with Tim. And also, it's from thank you to the listeners that have come in and listen to us, because we do kind of hope that we want to help you and try and preach and convert you like Islam do, but we want to inform you, and you take a great deal out of your day to sit here and listen to us, and hopefully with your help we can make a change. So thank you very much. It's much appreciated.
Absolutely, Sonny. And Glenn?
Yeah, you keep saying mention about time, Kel. No, time does not matter. Time is what we're talking about. Time you can still count on us at 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. This is what we're against. Who's worried about what time it is? I don't give a damn what time it is. If I'm there to help anyone out, you know, I would be there. And also, I'd like to say, Kel, you've got great, brilliant, and as again said, that if anybody wants to join the British Patriot Alliance, anybody, and they come up with our mission statement, please do so. I suppose Kel will put it down at the bottom again in case you missed it. And also, all our BPA followers tonight who's in the room, all right, thank you very much for listening. And also around all parts of the country, I'd like to say thank you for listening to us. I know Sonny does rabbit on a bit, but he's done a good job tonight. Thank you very much, Dave, Tim, and Kel.
Thank you, Glenn.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. And these fine gentlemen are going to be on the Radio Jihad Network tomorrow evening, and that is at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 p.m. British Summer Time. These fine gentlemen are taking a lot of time out of their otherwise busy schedules to share with us. But you know what? We have a brand new movement. They are the proprietors of the British Patriotic Alliance. It's an organization with fresh views and insights on how it conveys that Islam, Sharia, and hate preachers are not welcome in the UK. And as well, they support our troops and they support Israel. They support all walks of life. So it is my honor that they spent so much time with Tim and myself and, of course, Agador today. So, gentlemen, I will be speaking with you a little later on. I will be sending you some information for Radio Jihad tomorrow.
Yeah, and thank you once again, Cal. And my final departing words, remember, guys, stand up, be proud, chest out, because you're a patriot and you love your country, and don't let anyone else say so. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Amen.
There's one thing you missed, Sonny. And Kel,
go on then.
Always says it. No surrender.
No surrender.
No
ever.
Surrender.
No surrender.
No surrender ever.
Ever.
We are not going to allow the scourge, and that's with a capital T and a capital S. I call them the scourge. People notice in my show highlights that I do not spell Islam, Sharia, or anything with capitals because I'm not. They don't deserve the honorifics. I am not going to spell Islam with a capital I, Sharia with a capital S, because I have such a deep contempt for this scourge that has infiltrated our western shores. We need you all out there to help us battle this. They are working their way in. They're worming their way in. And in particular in the United States, you have a man with three Muslim names sitting in your White House. That is Barack Hussein Obama. We have a by-election coming up in the United States. And get your house back. Get Congress back. Get it all back. And get this guy out. This is enough. This guy has created so much damage. And he's done more damage in his presidency than I think 100 presidents before him could do. And you know what? The 100 presidents before him did not create damage. They loved their countries. They served their countries. They were wonderful commanders in chief. There might have been a few that could be considered a little, not too sure about. But, you know, the thing is that these were true Americans, and they love the United States. I have a government in Canada. My parliament is led by a man, Stephen Harper. He loves Canada, and he will stand up for Canada. We have our general elections next year. The UK, they have their general elections next year. Get out and vote for change, and please also join the British Patriotic Alliance. And remember, it's mass Islamity, and we have to stop the insanity. And remember, Islam is a political entity. With that, gentlemen, I want to thank you very much. And Agador, thank you so very much for pinch hitting.
No problem, Kel. Loved it.
And there you go. And on behalf of Tim and myself, we want to say thank you from the bottom of our hearts for being here. And we will see you at the Radio Jihad Network tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 p.m. British Summer Time. With that, we are closing out. And here we go. Keep hope alive, guys. we're going to win this. I promise all of you, we're going to win this.
Keep hope alive.
I know sometimes in life you feel that everything is lost, and that mountain is just too high to climb.
Keep hope alive.
Well, that's when you gotta dig deep down inside and reach that inner strength you never knew you had. Give you the will to carry on another day. And all the day goes by and you're outside, still wondering why, watching everything you work so hard, and life all begins to fall apart. It breaks your heart to see it all crumbling at the wayside. You wanna lay your head down, pack it in and say goodbye, cause there's nothing left here to keep hope alive. Until you see the only two things in life that really matter. It's a little girl and a little boy, want your foolish pride, want your beautiful joy. Even what's left of a candy bar when it's like the remains of a Chips Ahoy. Playing with a piece of driftwood that create a little mind made into a beautiful toy. And at that moment you realize you gotta rebuild everything Mother Nature had just destroyed. Their precious little heartbeats gave you the strength of a thousand men. Gave you the will to get back up on your feet again. Because you knew right then this battle wasn't about you, it's all about them. And you reassured them like only a daddy can. And they knew right then that everything was gonna be alright. Some harm's way, putting in all those hours, and all my friends working day and night, making it right here, tunnel of towers, bringing us hope like a ray of sunshine, peeking through the clouds,